Welcome to EB5 Investment Voice, where attorney insights intersects with immigration investments. If you are a foreign investor, domestic fund manager, or enterprising entrepreneur and want to get the most out of the EB5 program, you have come to the right place. I'm Mark Deal, and I'll be your co-host on this journey. I'm joined by your host, Mona Shaw, and other attorneys at Mona Shaw & Associates, as well as immigration leaders from around the world. So let's get into EB5 Investment Voice. Wow, Mona, that bill that you've been working on for so long, it's finally come to fruition.
Yes, that's right, Mark. And not a minute too soon, I could say. So this bill, because there's so much going out right now in DC, we just wanted to clarify for our listeners what's actually happening on the EB5 front. And a lot of people are confused because they're hearing that, oh, this bill's being introduced, that bill's being introduced. Will the actual regulations change? We don't think so. Right, Rebecca?
I agree, Mona. It's going to be less than a week away. I don't think anything the USCIS regulations will change.
Again, I think I want to make sure that people understand these are regulations put in by an administrative body, USCIS, and not legislation.
Which is with Congress.
That's right. Should the legislation come in, that would be a different story. They would override these regulations.
Yes, they would supersede.
But this, Mark, just to answer your question, this is the same bill that we had been working on that IIUSA and all of the industry have come together, we're working on. And we even did that fundraiser I was telling you about, the one for Congressman Hakeem Jeffries here in New York City. Mm-hmm. Hakeem Jeffries has a very distinct role in the House of Representatives.
Yes. Here, we did, as Mona said, a fundraiser for him here in New York as he represents Brooklyn and Queens. And it went very well. It was hard for us to get at first because everyone, it was kind of doom and gloom when they heard the regulations were coming out from USCIS. But we put together a pretty good fundraiser in September.
Yeah, and he's a prominent supporter and ally in the House of Rep for EB5. And he also supports this new draft legislation. So this legislation wasn't introduced in the House. It was actually introduced November the 5th in the Senate. And it was introduced by Lindsey Graham and John Cornyn and Mike Rounds.
Yeah, and it's titled Immigrant Investor Program Reform Act.
There's a lot of good stuff in here, including taking out the dependence from the quota to really optimizing the regional center program to bring in its best. We will give you updates on that as we go forward. But that's not the only EB5 bill which is floating around Congress. We do still have the bill that we have mentioned before on our podcast, the one which was introduced by Senator Grassley. And then there is another bill floating around in Congress relating to EB5 and the one from Senator Grassley, which we mentioned a few episodes ago. The one with the bill which really is more related to security measures than anything else. But that's not all that we're going to be talking about today, Mark.
No, it's certainly not. There's a lot going on in Washington, as you can tell. And so today we're going to be talking about really the state of play in Washington. And for that, we have Tammy Fox. Tammy is a former trial attorney for the United States Immigration and Naturalization Service and Special Assistant United States Attorney. Tammy has also been selected as one of the best lawyers in immigration law in South Florida for a number of years. Tammy, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Great to have you here, Tammy. So you're really involved with some of this latest legislation, immigration legislation. And I know you're speaking about this quite a lot. The Senate Bill 386 and the Relief Act.
Yes, I'm very involved in both bills and the pluses and minuses of both bills.
Fantastic. Well, just for our audience who may not recognize Senate Bill 386 as much as the House of Representatives HR 1044, which did pass the House, this is the bill which relates to the elimination of country caps. Country caps.
Yes, it does. The SB 386 would eliminate the per country quotas. So for those who really don't understand what this means, is in the employment-based immigration system, there is roughly a 7% quota for every country for every different category of employment-based immigration. And this 7% has been far exceeded by India, a little bit exceeded by China. And what it has done is it has caused a backlog for India that really would exceed 50 years for somebody who started a work-based immigrant petition today. And that's really an untenable situation.
Tammy, this is not the first time that we've seen a bill of this nature. We have the Yoder Amendment, which was finally defeated last year, which came in and then disappeared.
Yes, very few have the full support of tech behind them. And because tech has given so much money to House and Senate representatives and somewhat sprung this bill was really sprung on the House in the form of unanimous consent where it sailed through. Nobody really knew it was coming and really knew what was in it. And it's actually very complex.
Yes.
And when I want to say immigration lawyers and the public became aware of what was in this bill and it was being taken up in the Senate as SB 386, the companion Senate bill, resistance started to form and a movement came about which advocated for an increase in numbers that would accompany the lifting of per country quotas.
Well, to be fair, we had been in opposition with the Yoder bill last year, we being the EB5 community, because the Yoder bill included EB5, which would have meant, had that come in, removed country caps, all the visas would have gone to the first country on the list, which would have been China. And anybody coming in now would have a 10-year plus wait, which would, in effect, kill off EB5. So for that reason, the EB5 community had opposed the Yoder bill and initially did oppose 1044 and the Senate Bill 386. But I believe that there has been some kind of understanding now, Tammy, you perhaps can shed more light on this, that EB5 will not be part of Senate Bill 386.
EB5 is not included in Senate Bill 386, but it is included in H.R. 1044. And should those bills go to conference, who knows what's going to come out? There are rumors that EB5 will be included. There are rumors that it won't be included. Frankly, it will really hurt Indians if EB5 is included because 85% of the EB5 backlog is Chinese. And so they will stand in line generally before the Indians who are applying for EB5. So it will slow down EB5 for Indians. And it certainly won't help Chinese because they've sucked up all the quota and they form the line.
Right. In fact, there's a 16-plus year backlog for China still. But there's an incredible amount of backlog from China. So, Tammy, tell us, what are the real minuses of SB 386 and what does the Relief Act have?
Well, the first minus of SB 386 is it has a very short two-year transition period that doesn't include any EB1 classifications. So there will be no transition period for intercompany transferees, for extraordinary ability, for outstanding researchers and professors. And so the backlog for EB1 classifications will immediately jump to well over 10 years for those classifications because there's no transition period.
Wow, 10 years. Wow.
Yeah, it's shocking.
Well, that would certainly mean that that wouldn't attract people of that kind of caliber to come to the United States.
We would lose out, our country, if SB 386 passes, will lose out on a diverse workforce into the next decade. Yeah. And it will also lose out on artists, entertainers, investors. Everybody who is not on an H-1B visa would have no opportunity to be able to immigrate as only the H-1B provides continuation of status through the immigrant visa process or through adjustment. O's, P's, L's, R's, E's provide no such protection. So most of these other visa categories will end or the foreign national will cap out on their time in the United States long before any immigrant visa would be current under SB 386.
Wow. And this was really never brought to the House. Otherwise, I don't think 1044 would have been passed by unanimous consent.
Yeah. Ironically, Mona, when I talked to different representatives from the House who co-sponsored this or who didn't oppose unanimous consent, they all agreed that they had no clue what was in H.R. 1044. They mostly took Zoe Lofgren's word for it and Zoe Lofgren's lead on this. And she's, of course, in Silicon Valley. And that has, you know, she has a lot of pressure to get this passed because it's pushed by tech. Now, I don't know why tech hasn't pushed the Relief Act, which is a much better bill. It's almost odd, and it's almost as if tech doesn't want the Indian category to be current or to stay current. And that's why they don't want the Relief Act to pass.
That doesn't make any sense. That really doesn't. But tell us a little bit about the Relief Act.
Well, the Relief Act phases out the per country quotas over the course of 5 years. It's got a really good transition period. That's really helpful because it provides a pool of new green cards equal to the existing backlog over the next 5 years. So over the next 5 years, the entire backlog will be cleaned up. So SB 386 perpetuates the backlog, where the Relief Act completely eliminates the backlog and eliminates future backlog. The other thing the Relief Act does that SB 386 doesn't do is it treats family F2A categories, that would be lawful permanent residents, sponsoring spouses or children, as immediate relatives. You know, that frees up about 88,000 visas, which can be used for the F1 category.
Yes, that's something what we've been advocating for all the categories, especially B5, for some time.
You know, so that's it really helps family immigration. It raises the per country cap on family immigration to 15% and eliminates the per country cap, as does SB 386 on employment-based immigration. But it would largely really improve family immigration because it would provide that many more visas for families to immigrant, and it would exempt spouses and minor children of the primary applicants from being counted in the green card process for employment and family-based immigration. So in effect, it does triple the number of visas available and stops future backlogs from occurring.
You know, Tammy, you'd be doing a wonderful job trying to educate a lot of immigration practitioners. And one of your podcasts, sorry, not your podcast, one of your webinars, the title of one of your webinars has been, "Will You Still Have an Immigration Practice Should This Bill Pass?" Do you really see it being as dire as that?
Yeah, you know, I really do. If you're a lawyer and you only represent foreign national Indian H's, well, you're going to have the possibility of more immigrating, but there'll still be a severe backlog in Indian green card applications because SB 386 does nothing to fix it. But it will end immigration from 194 other countries. Some people say it will help China. I think it will hurt China. It doesn't do anything for China because the Chinese backlog is very little and the Indians will stand in front of the Chinese and increase their backlog. So the only
But just to clarify, that's for EB2, because, you know, our listeners are used to EB5 here. So I just want to clarify, we're talking about EB2 and EB3.
EB1, 2, and 3.
Right, EB1, 2, and 3.
And actually EB4, the religious workers. I know that the Catholic Church has spoken out and said this is going to end their ability to bring in religious workers. So they're concerned. It will end, obviously, diversity and immigration. And I think one of the worst things about SB 386, and I really don't understand why everybody stands behind SB 386, because like I said, it does perpetuate backlogs, but the Relief Act provides lock-in child status protection upon filing an I-140, a visa petition. That is really important.
That's extremely important.
Yeah, families are being separated.
Right. Again, I feel that there is a lack of knowledge. I really don't understand why tech is just not supporting the Relief Act. Do you know who brought in the Relief Act? Who sponsored it?
Mike Lee sponsored the Relief Act, and he's from Utah, and apparently he did so under great influence from tech. And he has refused to hold any hearings on SB 386 or the Relief Act. He continues every week to try to drive it through by unanimous consent. And in the meantime, Relief Act is picking up sponsors. It now has 7 sponsors. I expect by next week that it'll have over 10 sponsors. Generally, they're Democratic sponsors. I don't know why the Republicans won't get on board on this, because in the end, for pretty much every state, the foreign direct investment in every state in the United States is coming principally from Europe, from Latin America, the Caribbean, and Canada. This would largely end foreign direct investment. SB 386 would largely end foreign direct investment in all of our states. So it's a little bit perplexing to me why the Republican senators aren't getting on board on a bill that would assist in the perpetuation of foreign direct investment in our state.
Right. Well, currently, SB 386 has got a hold on it. And I believe it's Senator Durbin who has put this hold on.
Yes. And we're hoping, at least my from my perspective, is that Durbin holds strong. And, you know, there are many out there who say, well, they're supporting SB 386 because relief doesn't stand a chance of passage. And SB 386 would make the situation better for Indians than it is today, for example. I believe that if tech and the Indians put their weight and their might behind the Relief Act would be able to get through and would have far more support. So if tech used all their energy that they used to get through SB 386, if they put that energy behind a much fairer and better bill, the Relief Act could pass.
Well, Tammy, thank you so much for coming on EB5 Investment Voice and explaining what's involved in SB 386, some of its down points, and how the Relief Act is better in a number of ways. What can listeners of this show do to help support the Relief Act?
Well, if you work for a large tech company or you're associated with one of the tech companies that's behind SB 386, you can talk them into supporting the Relief Act, because they have a lot of weight, obviously, with their respective senators. And the other thing you can do is you can start contacting Senate offices and explain to them why they should support the Relief Act and why it's so much better than SB 386 in terms of providing a permanent solution to these horrible backlogs that are plaguing workforce and family immigration.
Thank you, Tammy.
Thank you.
Thank you for being with us today on EB5 Investment Voice. The topics presented in this podcast is informational in nature and is not to be taken as specific legal advice. If you have questions on the topics presented in this episode or other investment immigration needs, please contact Mona Shaw & Associates. Mona and her attorney staff can be reached at mshawlaw.com. That's mshahlaw.com. Make sure you don't miss our next episode focusing on a different aspect of the EB5 program by subscribing to the podcast. While you're at it, leave us a rating on iTunes. If you really found this episode valuable, share it with someone else that could benefit from this information. Until then, I'll see you on the next episode of EB5 Investment Voice.